Greetings from Tony Broom Ministries. Here's a sermon from God's Word entitled, Knowing About the Holy Spirit.
Jesus, he talked to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today, knowing about the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to know about the Holy Spirit. In the upper room discourse, Jesus teaches his disciples about the Holy Spirit before they even received him and before he came on the day of Pentecost. I think this message, one of the things that jumped out to me was not so much the teaching on the Holy Spirit. I've read it many times, but to think that Jesus told them all about the Holy Spirit before Pentecost, before he came on the day of Pentecost, before they were baptized in the Spirit, before they received the Spirit as we know it, he taught them about the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to do. We need to know more about the Holy Spirit. Some of these titles, I was thinking about this one, and I was wrestling a little bit about the title, and I wanted to say, Knowing the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, no, stick with what you got, what I gave you, knowing about the Holy Spirit. Not so much knowing the Holy Spirit. Certainly we need to know the Holy Spirit. Every born-again believer, to a certain extent, knows the Holy Spirit. But we not only need to know the Holy Spirit, but we need to know about the Holy Spirit. I know you, and you know me, and like Barney says, we're a happy family. And I can know my wife, and she can know me, but sometimes do we know about them like we should? You can be around a person a long time and not really know that much about them. Many people for years have gone and said they're born again and they know the Holy Spirit in the sense that they have the Holy Spirit. And if you say the Holy Spirit, they'll say, oh yes, he's the Spirit of God. But do we know about the Holy Spirit? Jesus teaches the disciples about the Holy Spirit. The objective of this message is to acquaint believers with the Holy Spirit. That might seem strange to you to hear me say to acquaint believers with the Holy Spirit, because a believer should know the Holy Spirit. Yes, we know him, but we need to get more acquainted with him, to walk with him and talk with him and let me know that he's my very own. Walking and talking in the garden with Jesus. They should know more about the one whom we are so eager and endeavoring to get them to be filled with, to receive his fullness, to be baptized with. We're excited about getting someone to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we should be excited. We want them to have the excitement that we have. We want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit like we are. We want them to have the joy like we do. But we should help them to know more about the one whom we're trying to get them to receive. I can tell you all day, boy, you really ought to try this. I'm telling you, this is the best razor I ever found. And I might tell a little lie about that because I'm still looking for a good one. But I like a cup of coffee. They say, why in the world do you drink so much coffee? Well, I'm trying to find a good cup. That's why you drink so much coffee. You say, man, this is the best steak I've ever had. This is the best hamburger. You wouldn't believe how good it is. I want you to have one. But they don't know much about what you're talking about. Same thing about the Holy Spirit. And I know there's no comparison with a razor or a cup of coffee and the Holy Spirit, but still, the principle's the same. When you say, we want you to be filled with the Spirit, we want you to know the Holy Spirit, well, what about the Holy Spirit? In John 14, Jesus begins to teach the disciples and talk to them about the Holy Spirit. And this is in an atmosphere where they just had the Lord's Supper. He had washed the disciples' feet. And even though he was going to the cross and suffer and die, and they had a lot of things on their mind, he tried his best to get them in an attitude where they would be relaxed, where he could talk to them man to man about the Holy Spirit. And he begins to teach them. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. It's not going to be like me that I have to go away. He will abide with you forever. That's who we need. That's what we need. We need someone to abide with us forever. We don't need someone to just stay for a year. We don't need someone to just stay for 10 years. We don't need someone to just stay for 35 or 36 years. And I know that people have to retire, and I know that people have to change, and some people die, and others are born. I understand that. But we need somebody that we can identify with and be with all the time, and never change and never leave us, never forsake us. That's the kind of person that Jesus was talking to them about when he talked to them about the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. They can if they get right with God, but then they're not in the world anymore. They're in the family of God. But as long as you stay in the world of sin, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. You don't understand what people are talking about when they mention the Holy Spirit. You think it's a spooky, wooky thing when they're talking about the Holy Spirit. You don't understand it's talking about an intimate person, someone who won't hurt you. Oh, he can hurt you. He has all power, but he doesn't come to do that. He comes to bless you. He doesn't come to bug you. Some people got enough religion just to bug them, not bless them. If you have salvation, it'll bless you, not bug you. If you got religion, it'll bug you all your life. It'll toss you about, take you to the graveyard, and throw a little dirt in your face and say you're a good old boy. But when you know the Lord, when you have salvation, the world does not see him. They do not know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. They had not received him in his fullness at that time. Jesus told them, he is already with you. He's with you. I'm with you. I'm teaching you. I'm helping you. The Spirit's with you, but he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. And that word is an orphan. I will not leave you alone like an orphan. And they could have said, well, you already said you're going away. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And they could have certainly said, you said you're going away, and now you say you won't leave us comfortless. How can that happen? It happens because of the Holy Spirit. No Christian is comfortless. No Christian. You may not want to be comforted all the time. Song said, I've been hurt. Leave me alone. I've been hurt. I don't want nobody to try to comfort me. I want to feel sorry for myself. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. You know, the old cliche said. Sometimes we don't want to be comforted, but actually we really do want to be comforted. We may be in a condition right now where we're mad and we're upset. We may not be comforted right now, but we really want to be comforted. Jesus said, I will not leave you without comfort. I will come to you. Wait a minute, you said you're going to leave us. How can you come to us? Well, you as a believer, you know. He comes to us. He doesn't jump down off the throne and come through space and come to us. He comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And he's with us right now in this place. He's with us right now wherever people are. The Holy Spirit. In verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and we could say, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. One of the things the Holy Spirit will do when he comes, he will teach you all things. It's all right to get an education. It's all right to go to the seminary. But that's not what you really need. What you need is an education from the Holy Spirit, the one who will teach you. When you go to school sometimes and you're taught by a person, they get aggravated with you. I've had teachers to get aggravated with me before. And then I think about it and I say, well, I don't blame them. I'd get aggravated with me too if I wasn't me. But they got aggravated with me. They got impatient with me. I was the run of the mill. Because I came from the mill hill, I'm the run of the mill. And I was insecure and didn't know what I was doing there. And may not know half what I'm doing here sometime, but at least I know the one who's in charge. He will teach you. He won't be like the teacher in school who gets impatient with you and gives you a bad grade just because she's mad at you, not because you really did bad. The Holy Spirit's not that way. He will bring things to your remembrance from the Word of God, things that you can't remember all in your head yourself, but He will bring them to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said to you, chapter 15, verse 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus. When you have someone talking about the Holy Spirit and they never give witness to Christ, it never leads you to live a more productive or fuller Christian life. It's all about a minister. It's all about a certain denomination. It's all about building a church. It's all about building a number. It's all about building an empire. It's all about going after some certain man's agenda, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will testify of me. He will always point to Christ. You'll know that's the Holy Spirit if it, that is He always points to Christ. And I say it because whatever's going on at that time, when it points to Christ, you know it's the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Like I say, they didn't understand it. We don't want you to go away. We want you to stay here with us, teach us and guide us and help us. Everything's all right as long as you're around. Somebody feel that way about a certain preacher. When their preacher's here, everything's all right. But when he goes out of town, they don't want to be around because everything's not all right because he's not around. We need the Holy Spirit religion instead of preacheritis. Praise be to God. Because preachers can come and go. Some of them die, and Ephesians tells us about that. Hebrews chapter 5 says that they are taken away because of death. But this man that I'm talking about, he has an unchanging, ever unchanging priesthood. I will go away. It's expedient, highly necessary for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Two persons of the Godhead are not in this world at the same time. Never. Jesus came, and He went back to heaven. The Holy Spirit came. Now, the Spirit of God is always in the world, but the Holy Spirit as a person, He didn't come until the day of Pentecost. And Jesus goes back to heaven. The Holy Spirit comes. He does not come as long as Jesus is in the world. That's what Jesus is teaching. If I do not go away, He will not come. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When the Holy Spirit comes, and He's here now, we know, of course, but when He comes, He reproves the world. He is the only good force, if you want to call it that, in the world. It's not the Democrat, it's not the Republic, it's not somebody has a better principle than other. That's good. But the only real good person in this world now is the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Jesus, He's a good person. Yes, He's with the Father. The one who is the good person who's in the world right now is the Holy Spirit. And He's not even in sinners, so the only one that He's really in are the believers. He, the Holy Spirit, will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. He's the one who tells all of us, once upon a time when we were in sin, He told all of us, you're not doing right. You're not living right. You don't believe in Christ. You're not serving God. That was not just what your mama was trying to get you to go to the church. That's the Holy Spirit trying to reprove you because you're not living right. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit's the one who says, that's right. Jesus did just what He said He'd do. He came to the world. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose again. He went back to heaven. He did exactly what he said he would do. Now, what do you think about doing what you're supposed to do? That's the Holy Spirit that brings that to us. He may not speak those exact words like I do, but he's the one who brings that to you. He reproves of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. There's no use keep on serving the devil because he's already been judged. Now, the sentence hadn't been carried all the way out yet, but in the mind and heart of God, in the Bible, in the words of God and the Holy Spirit, he's as good as dead. Of course, he'll never be really dead. He might well be dead, be burning in the lake of fire forever. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. There was no way that the disciples would have been able to bear the things that Jesus had to tell them. You cannot stand it all now. I have many things I want to tell you. See, that does away with this doctrine, I don't know what you call it, but cessationists that say that these things don't happen anymore. God doesn't speak anymore. Well, Jesus said, I got a lot of things I want to tell you. Somebody's wrong, and I believe it's not him. A lot of things I want to tell you. But you can't stand it right now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Just because he has a lot of things to tell us, that doesn't mean that we're to listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry either. Or Cindy and Sally and Sue, if you want to get the ladies. Everybody wants the ladies to be involved in everything now. You got this thing on TV about the History Month. Had the Black History Month and then the Girl History Month, and I don't know where the dog and cat and the man comes in at, somewhere around the line, but you can't listen to just what everybody says just because, yeah, we believe in the gifts, we believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, yes, but you can't go off into left field somewhere. The Spirit of God, yes, he does still speak, yes, he does still move, but he will guide you into all truth, not into error. We don't need error. We'd be just as well off to say it's not happening as to say that in a falsehood. We don't need falsehood. He will guide us into truth. He shall not speak of himself from himself about himself all the time, but he, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit hears the word from God the Father and God the Son, and it's a wonderful, perfect Godhead that we have. All wrapped up together. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. The Holy Spirit hearing the word. He teaches us the word. He speaks the word to us in cooperation with the Father and the Son. And Jesus said, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. I've had some hard assignments in the ministry. At least I thought they were difficult, or things that I really didn't want to face, perhaps. Things I felt like I couldn't do. A lot of things I feel like I can't do, but even though I'm a senior adult pastor today, I feel like a little boy, because I feel like I'm just giving you child stuff. It's not child stuff, but in what I mean by it is we think we got to do some big thing. And what is on the paper there, that's just so you'll have a handout, but what is it? It's Scripture. It's just so simple. It's Scripture. If we come looking for a great revelation, a big thing, you're going to be disappointed. It's all in God's Word. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. And he keeps it simple. He keeps it good and down to earth where we can live. Even though it's heavenly things, it's down to earth. If it was way up there, I couldn't get it. If you had to have a lot of money, I couldn't get it. If you had to do a lot of works, I couldn't get it. A lot of things I couldn't do, but you know what? I can do this. Jesus gives the word of God. You know what? I believe I can do that. Not in myself, but I can do it. He'll help me do it. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit both before and after his resurrection. Before he went to the cross in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, during the Sermon on the Plain. Everybody talks about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And he said a lot of same things in Luke chapter 11, but do you know that it said when he had come down into the plain, he said these things to his disciples. So that tells me that even though Jesus said these things more than one time, it's a different occasion. He said a lot of the same things, and some people say, well, see there, in Luke it says different than Matthew, so the Word of God contradicts itself. No, it doesn't contradict itself. He says it in different times, in different locations. Sometimes when you say something in a different location, you may say it a little bit differently than you said before. And so one is Sermon on the Mount. This one's a Sermon on the Plain. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You don't have to pay a lot of money. You don't have to go to a certain church. I'd recommend going to a church who believes in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because if you don't, you're not going to be in a position. They're not going to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost if they don't talk a lot about the Holy Ghost, unless you receive Him at home, which is very possible, of course. But you're not going to be in a position to be able to worship according to your faith, to worship God like He wants you to. You don't want to have to be tight. You don't want to have to be feel like you're going to do something you shouldn't do. Well, he said, how much more? We know how to give good things to our children as natural men and women and grandparents, and we can spoil our children and grandchildren as grandparents. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him? Just asking? Is that all I got to do? Yeah, you just ask and believe. What do you have to do to be saved? Just believe on the Lord Jesus, you're saved. Same thing happens to the Holy Spirit. Some people try too hard. Some people give up too quick. All you got to do is just ask the Lord. If it doesn't happen right away, do like the grandchild. Keep on asking until you give them what you want. In John chapter 20, verse 22, and this is after the cross, he invites and even commands his disciples, saying, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Jesus wouldn't tell us to receive something or someone that he really didn't want us to receive. He told them to receive the Holy Ghost. In the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus commands us to baptize new disciples in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't want people to be baptized in the name of someone who really wasn't real, who really wasn't supposed to be dealing with and talking about anymore. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. This is a promise from God. He told the disciples in the beginning, I will send the promise of my Father upon you. What is it? The promise of power, promise of the Spirit. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Well, we don't have to go to Jerusalem today, but we need to tarry. We may need to tarry at the altar. We may need to tarry at our bedside. We may need to tarry under the stump of the tree, wherever. Wherever it is, it doesn't matter. You just keep on, and God will see your persistence. He knows your heart anyway. It's not that He's holding you over a barrel and make you keep going and going and going. Sometimes we have to get self out of the way. Sometimes we have to show that old devil we really mean business with God. Whatever it is, Jesus said, you stay there until He comes. Sometimes we need to keep on being persistent, and God will give it. It's what Jesus said, the Father will give. We give good things to our children, God will give the Spirit to those who ask Him. Acts chapter 1, verse 4-5, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says He, you have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Why did the disciples not give up? And thank God they didn't. If they had given up in that upper room, Pentecost, as we know it, may never have come. And we certainly wouldn't be here today if they had given up. What caused them not to give up? Because they had the promise of Jesus. Jesus said, you will receive it. You will receive Him. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They knew. I don't know exactly when He's coming. Jesus said he's coming. If Jesus said he's coming, he's coming. If Jesus had said the moon is made out of cheese, like a man that used to play the drums for me told his little girl, the moon's made out of cheese, she looked up at night and she believed it till she got old enough to know any better. Told her the world's made out of cheese, she believed it. If Jesus had told them that, they'd have believed that too. Some people believe more wilder things than that. But the truth is that Jesus told them, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. When the power comes upon you, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's why the gospel has gone out like it has nowadays. Because people were faithful. They waited. They received the Holy Spirit. You and I can receive the Holy Spirit. Knowing more about the Holy Spirit. God wants us to know more about Him. He wants us to be blessed by Him. He wants us to be encouraged today. And He is here to bless us. He's here to bless wherever you are. He's here to touch you. And He's here to bless you today. He wants us to know. Jesus spent all this time with the disciples teaching them about the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came, they knew about the Holy Spirit already. Many times we had gotten into the fullness of the Spirit without knowing much about Him, but that's all right. We could catch up and learn, and Jesus will help us. But He wants us to know. You don't have to receive somebody that you don't know anything about. Because if you don't know anything about Him, you're not apt to keep on seeking. The first little temptation or hindrance or disappointment of not receiving, you're likely to fall out and quit. But if you know about the Holy Spirit, and you know what this simple, just reading the Word of God, if you know what the Word of God says, and you know about the Holy Spirit, you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. Just like we know about Jesus. We're not going to give up on Jesus. He's done too much for us. We know Him. We're not going to quit, go to hell, because we're on the way to heaven. We know more about heaven than we do hell. And we want to go to heaven. We don't want to go to hell. So we're headed that way. And nothing is going to turn us around. They can kill the body. They can't do anything to the heart and the soul. Nothing will stop us. Nothing will shake us. We may, as a New Translation said, we may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. And God will help us every step of the way. The Holy Spirit will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit. And now He wants us to be filled. He wants us to be blessed. He wants the church to continue to go forward, whether it's in the sanctuary, whether it's on Zoom, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on FaceTime, whether it's on Facebook. It doesn't matter about all that. The devil cannot stop the church. The governor can shut the door, but the devil can't stop the church. I'd rather get off of the governor's side and the devil's side and get on God's side. It's good to know that we have Sunday night preaching in the house again. Praise God. That's where it ought to be. Church ought to have church on Sunday night and leave the popcorn popping for the moviegoers. Time to get back to having church on Sunday night. Wonder why people can't be filled in the Holy Ghost and entertaining and playing games. And don't get me going on that. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the opportunity to be here today to learn about the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You because You have given us one who is with us, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. We thank You for His presence. We thank You, Lord, that You are able to save to the uttermost, and You're able to fill, You're able to bless. It doesn't matter whether it's virus, whether it's pandemic, nothing can take away the joy in our heart. Joy, 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 unspeakable and full of glory. And we thank You for that joy today. We thank You, Jesus. You went all the way for us. You never allowed anything to turn You back because You knew that we would receive the fullness and joy of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the wonderful gift of God. May many receive that gift of God today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a sermon entitled Knowing About the Holy Spirit. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit today. This has been a production of Tony Brew Ministries.